Thanks for tuning in to Sunday's sermon called A Faith That Fizzles Out from our senior pastor, Jeff Ellis. Unfortunately, we did experience some technical difficulties that caused us to have to cut out part of the sermon. We have since dealt with those issues, but for today, we'll jump right into the first part of the sermon that we were able to pick up. Here's Pastor Jeff.
So the author begins Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus is just way better. He's superior. Jesus is way better than the angels. Jesus is way better than the Old Testament prophets. Jesus is way better than Moses or Aaron. Jesus is way better than the Old Testament high priests. He's asking them, why on earth would you consider abandoning Jesus and returning to that which is worse? Why would you go back to what is inferior? In Hebrews chapters 3 and 4, the author reminds them of the example of the children of Israel in the wilderness. And he quotes Psalm 95. And he warns the Hebrew Christians, don't fall away by having an unbelieving, evil heart. Okay? He reminds them, the entire nation of Israel, okay? Everybody in all of Israel applied the blood to the door frames of their homes. That was the first Passover. And that led to the firstborn of each house having the eldest live because of the blood on the door frame of the house. He reminds them the entire nation of Israel walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. Everybody walked through. And everybody looked back and watched the ocean fall back and swallow up Pharaoh's army. The entire nation of Israel, track with me, followed the cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night. All of the nation of Israel enjoyed the spiritual benefits of following God. But here's the clue. But most of them didn't believe. And that was going to show up later. Most of them were not genuinely saved. They'd all been enlightened. They'd all experienced God's blessing and God's miracles. They all tasted of the heavenly gift. All of them had been freed from slavery in Egypt, but not all of them were saved through personal faith in Jehovah God. Understand what's going on here? Okay? That's the background. The nation of Israel in the wilderness is like some in Scripture who were never saved, even though they had lots of truth, they had lots of light, they had lots of the Holy Spirit. People like Balaam in Numbers chapter 24, King Cyrus of Persia, Numbers chapter 24, Isaiah 45, and perhaps the one that speaks most clearly, remember the guy named Judas Iscariot? Judas was one of the 12 and traveled around with Jesus for 3 years. Clearly, Judas tasted of the goodness of God. Judas was enlightened and experienced the good things to come, and still, after all the light, after all of the goodness of Jesus on him, Judas still turned away from Jesus and betrayed him. To everybody else, it looked like Judas was a genuine believer, but proximity to Christ doesn't always lead to putting your faith in Jesus. I'm going to say that again. Closeness to Christ doesn't always lead to genuine salvation. Remember what Jesus predicted. We'll put it up here on the screen on Judgment Day. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On Judgment Day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We perform many miracles in your name. But Jesus says, I'm going to reply, I never knew you. Get away from me. you lawbreakers, you who break God's law. I want to show you a key to understanding verses 4 to 6. And that's the two verses that come right after. Verses 7 and 8, here's the key. Here's what it says. Hebrews 6, 7 and 8, when the ground soaks up the falling rain and bears a good crop for the farmer, it has God's blessing. But if a field bears thorns and thistles, it's useless. The farmer will soon condemn that field and just burn it. Okay? This fits with the story of Israel in the wilderness. Okay? This illustration fits with the point that the writer's making in Hebrews 6, 4 to 6. Okay? God poured out his blessings on Israel when they were being delivered from Egypt, when he was providing for them in the wilderness. God's blessing, God's rain was falling on them. Their lives, as a response to God's goodness, should have been faith and obedience, but instead, most of Israel were faithless and disobedient, okay? Numbers 21 describes the nation of Israel. You can look it up later. Numbers 21, they were impatient and complaining and whining, and they were speaking against both God, Jehovah, and Moses. We don't want to follow them anymore. Some in the Hebrew church that this letter was written to, track with me, are in danger of the same sin as the children of Israel. Same sin. They participated in God's protection, God's blessing, but instead of soaking up God's blessing and God's goodness, look at verse 7, God's raining on them. Instead of soaking it up like a good crop, verse 8, they became useless and worthless and condemned. The gospel is the punishment that we deserve, that punishment that's so bad that Jesus Christ had to die for me and for you. Tracking with me? Jesus is so loving that he was glad to die for us, okay? In the cross, we see the severity of our sin, the judgment that waits for us, the glory of God that sent Jesus to take our place. So, track with me now. Here we go. We're going somewhere. So the author is giving a warning to the church. He's saying, church is composed of both genuine followers of Jesus and people who look pretty good on the outside, but it's just superficial. And they're just relying on being near Jesus and near truth and enjoying God's blessings. Okay? They were considering turning their back on Jesus and the cross and salvation. And they were thinking about, we're going to go back and we're going to start sacrificing animals and following the Old Testament law once again, the Jewish rituals, okay? They were going to get back on the treadmill of trying to earn God's favor and God's salvation. Put it up one more time, Caleb, here we go. Their faith was fizzling out before the finish, which revealed a faith that was flawed from the first. Their faith was starting to fizzle out and they were thinking about going back, revealing a faith that was flawed from the first. Okay? This text is not just addressing a little difficulty and thinking about drifting away. This text is addressing apostasy, deliberate, public, willful, renouncing Christ, no thank you, I'm going to go and live for the other team, and becoming an enemy of Jesus Christ. Okay. They were spiritual tasters of Jesus. Look at verse 5. They were tasting of Jesus. They tasted a bit of the goodness of God, but they never really ordered the best and they never really swallowed the rest of the meal. It's a little bit like tasting sushi. Get that picture up there, Caleb. Yeah, how many of you like sushi? How many of you think sushi tastes like bait? My hand's up now. I have tasted enough sushi to know, and I've tried, oh, you haven't tried this, or you haven't, no, I've tried this and that and the other. I tried this kind, and I won't lie, just give a wee bit of taste. I just never have experienced the benefit and the blessing that so many of you love, okay? It reminds me as a kid, we used to fish with minnows, and you'd put a minnow on a hook, and maybe you'd accidentally lick your hand. That's what sushi tastes like. I just baited the hook, and it tastes like minnow. Anyway, it's just me. I'm sorry. I tried. The Hebrew Christians had taken a little taste of Jesus, but it wasn't a life-changing taste. Okay, just a little lick of sushi. Okay? Nah, I don't like that one. They were tasting different philosophies, different religions, but there was no change in their life. That's what's happening here. No steady growth in Jesus, no hunger for God's word, no great desire to lean into the church family. No, thank you. They just had a little taste. Jesus talks about this kind of heart. Matthew chapter 13. We'll put it up here on the screen. This is the parable of the soils. Listen, Jesus says, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. Since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. And you slide down to verse 20. Here's the explanation. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The reason they didn't produce any fruit, the reason they fall away, parable of the soils here, is they didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. You tracking with me? They didn't have Jesus living on the inside. They were not redeemed. They were not born again. They were not sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's the problem here, okay? They tasted of Jesus. They tasted of the Spirit. They tasted of the Word of God in church, but they never swallowed and believed and received and persevered in Jesus Christ. That's the problem. So, how does this passage apply to our lives today? How does this section of Hebrews, what does it mean for you and for me? I'm going to give you three applications. Here we go. First, it's really more, I've said this a couple times, it's really more about how we finish the Christian life than how we begin. Really is. Because a faith that fizzles before the finish was flawed from the first. Okay? It really is about how you finish. It really is. It's dangerous to profess faith in Jesus, but then have little or no fruit for years and decades going forward. It's dangerous when there's no fruit in your life. If Jesus and His Spirit have taken up residence in our lives, then there's going to be evidence. How do you know it's an apple tree? There's apples on that tree. You understand? Okay? You're going to have the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So the question we need to ask ourselves is there any fruit recently going on in my life? And if you're not sure, I would encourage you, ask your spouse, ask a friend, ask a co-worker. Do you see the fruit of Jesus in my life regularly? Second way this passage applies, 2024. It's dangerous not to worry about this warning if our hearts are calloused. If we're really not all that interested in walking close to Jesus Christ, it's dangerous. Okay? If abiding and staying connected to Jesus is no big deal for you, then this passage should be a big deal to you. Okay? If you're not really all that interested, then you should wake up right now, because this was written as a wake-up call before it's too late. That's why he wrote this. Really is. If you're relying on a decision that you made decades ago, oh yeah, Pastor Jeff, it was a long time ago, but I remember praying a prayer or signing a card or walking an aisle, and there's been little or no fruit since then, that's a danger sign. That's a danger sign. That's a big problem. Assurance comes as we continue to walk with Christ. Assurance, I know that I belong to Jesus because I'm walking with Jesus today. And Myron, assurance will come tomorrow when we get up and I persevere tomorrow in my relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where assurance comes from. True believers in Christ persevere in faith and obedience. Okay? Faith and obedience are the gauge, the sign that I continue to love and serve Jesus, my King. Okay? I continue to obey and lean in strong to Jesus. We're going to see, and it'll actually be next February, March, Hebrews 10. Caleb, put that up there, would you please? Hebrews 10, 36, 39. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He's promised. Verse 39. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Faithful ones, persevering with Jesus. This is huge, okay? Here's the final slide here in this section. The price or the cost for assurance, okay? Knowing that you're saved, knowing that you're kept, knowing that you're secure. The price for assurance is perseverance. The price for assurance is perseverance. You want to feel saved? You want to feel assured? Then keep walking and persevering with Christ. Do you want to feel saved? Then stay close to Jesus. That's the secret. How do I feel saved? Stay close to Jesus. Third, final warning. This section applies to us. We don't need to worry excessively about this section if our hearts are tender and we frequently repent. Talked enough about this over the years. It's doing the U-turn, okay? Repentance is not just something you do one time at salvation. No. Repentance is daily turning from sin. It's doing the U-turn from my sin and my disobedience. It's turning to Jesus and confessing my sin and getting back in right relationship, getting clean and pure and back in fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's what repentance is all about. In Eastern Europe, Christians are called the repenters. Isn't that good? The repenters. Oh, they're the repenters. If we're regularly in God's Word, if we're daily walking with Jesus, we'll at times slip and fall and fail into sin. James says we all do. And the Holy Spirit will convict us, Henry. The Holy Spirit will convict us. And now, our duty, I can either just lay here in the mud and the manure and just feel bad, or I can repent and get up and turn towards Jesus and confess and get back in right relationship with Jesus. That's the choice we have. And that brings blessed assurance in Christ. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Okay, we close with what Jesus said, John chapter 15. We'll put it up here on the screen. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do how much? Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Well, I'm not sure I like that. Sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? Can I say? That's why we get these warnings. That's why Jesus and the writer here in Hebrews, way better to hear it now, way better to hear it while you can do something about it. We can turn and run to Jesus and make Him the Lord of our lives today. That's the reason for the warning. The apostate, the unbeliever, they don't care. They don't give a rip. The fact that you are here this morning and you're interested in God's Word, the fact that you're watching here online, that's a good sign. It's a really good sign that you care. Do you remember the prodigal son? He woke up, came to his senses. What did he do when he woke up and came to his senses? He turned and ran home. Great news. Ready? Jesus is just watching for you to turn toward Him, and He'll run and meet you today. Today. The price or the cost for assurance. Knowing that you are saved and kept and secure. The price for assurance is perseverance. Keep walking. Keep staying close. Want to feel saved? Do you want to feel assured? Stay close to Jesus. That's where assurance comes from. Let's pray as we close. Lord, we acknowledge these are difficult verses, and this warning you inspired to be written down is hard to hear. It's strong. It's loud. I'm praying that you'll help us, Lord, to see things in our lives really plain, really clear. So, Lord, would you speak? Because we're listening. We're listening, and we want to hear from you. Lord, if we're coasting, if we're lukewarm, if we've drifted far from you, Lord, speak loud. We don't want to live that way. Lord, empower us not to lean on a choice we made decades ago to feel secure about our salvation. Lord, would you enable us to walk regularly, walk daily with your Son? And my prayer for all of my friends here is there might be regular fruit hanging from our lives. We know, Lord, salvation is a free gift. We know nothing else, nobody else, other than your Son, Jesus, could bring us salvation. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for loving us so much. You took our place. I pray specifically now for anyone here in person, anybody watching online, watching later, who's wandered and strayed as far away from your son Jesus. And please know, if that's you, if you'll just do the U-turn, don't just lay there in the mud and the manure. If you'll do the U-turn and move towards Jesus, he's ready, he's excited, he's ready to meet you, love you, and accept you as a child of his right now, today. I need to ask, anybody say, you know, I'm coming home to you, Jesus. I'm ready to come home. I want that blessed assurance. I'm ready to stay close to Jesus. If you're here in person, wow, we'd love to celebrate with you. If you're watching online, hit that prayer button. We'd love to have a private chat with you. Well, how do you come into relationship with Jesus? It starts with the facts. Jesus alone qualifies as the sinless Lamb of God. Jesus took my place and yours on that Roman cross. Jesus shed his blood to wash and cleanse and purify us from all of our sins. Jesus took our place in the grave, dead for you, dead for me. He arose from the dead, defeated sin and Satan and death. He did that for us. And right now, Jesus is alive and he's knocking on your heart's door. Won't you open the door of your life and invite him in? Come on in, Jesus. I need you. I need all that you've done for me. I need you to come. I believe in you. I receive you as my Savior and my King. We'd love to help you get started in that journey. Make your way to the prayer corner. See me at the center door. Watching online, hit that prayer button. We'll celebrate with you. We'll have a private conversation with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for even the hard sections of your book. They make us dig. They make us think. It's exactly what we need. We love you. In Jesus' strong name we pray.